Luke, the 15th chapter. Pray that God, I know you've already prayed for me, so I'm not going to pray again. Pray the Lord to help me get into this. I want to read you that 29th verse, because that's where I want to send my thoughts on. The 29th verse here of Luke, the 15th chapter. We're talking about the elder son. The elder son is the one who's going to be doing the talking. And he, that is the elder son, answering, said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends." This 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke, and just give me a little time, I'll try to preach here. But I'm just hooking on to where Brother Norman was last night. But this whole chapter is results of the first two verses. When you look at it in that light, it'll really help you. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable. He started out with parables. And he spoke first of all, and I know you're aware of this, but look, you see, I sometimes get ashamed. I say, "God, the things I'm seeing, probably they've seen it for years, and I'm just getting very excited, and they've already seen it." Amen. But I have to do it this way. But the first thing he did was he started out talking to them about people having sheep. Every farmer understands the value of their cattle. Amen. Huh? And he lost one sheep. And he said he put the 90 and 9, he had 100, he put the 90 and 9, left them in the wilderness. Maybe to be lose more. But it was such a need that he find that one sheep that he took a chance on something getting into those 90 and 9 while he looked for that one. And he looked high and he looked low. And finally he found it. And when he found it was in such a condition that it was under such exposure that it was near death, no doubt. Because he didn't lead it back. He laid it on his shoulders. Every step that of the way back to the sheepfold was because of his efforts. He loved it. He looked for it in the night and in the dark. Amen. Did you ever lose something? I remember some time ago we have a little place and I went up and heard no cow ball under the night. After church we drove up there. And I said, "There's something wrong. That cow bawls like something's wrong." And I went there and I knew she had a calf. And I couldn't find the calf. It's night. We drove around. Couldn't find it. Next morning, went out looking. And I got up there and there'd been an ice on up there. We have ice up there sometimes. And the ice had been on, and my fence is about that high above the ground on a steep grade. And that calf had slipped down under that fence. He got to his feet all right. But it could never get back to mama. No warm milk, no nothing. And so it died of exposure. That was about a 250-pound calf laying out there just outside the fence. Not a thing had hurt it, but it died. You see, that's what this man is worried about. Yeah. If I don't find it. And those people understood that. Yeah. And then no doubt the farmers could understand it, you know. And what a wonderful thing it is, you know. Whenever. And then he said to them, when he's talking to them, he said, he bring it to his friends. And his neighbors say unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." He took that to people that understood the worth of animals. He didn't go up here in the city somewhere and say they wouldn't understand it. I remember a city preacher years and years ago to a country preacher, and somebody stood up and said, "Pray for my cow. I got a sick cow." He rebuked him. He didn't know the worth of that cow. Hallelujah. Now, if somebody stood up and said, "Pray for my job, it's looking kind of shaky," he said, "Let's remember that, brother. He needs that." But he didn't know that was that man's livelihood. You see what I'm saying? He didn't know. So, you don't take something to somebody that don't understand the value of it, because they are going to be arrested. Amen. So, he took it to those that understood that this is important. Amen. And they all rejoiced. And then he said these words. That he said, when he said that, he said, "I send you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." He said in heaven The thing that electrifies and causes them to become ecstatic is when the news comes in. A sinner's been saved. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then he said something to the ladies. And for they understood the what this represented. This woman had 10 pieces of silver. It represented a part of her dowry. Her lover had given that to her. And she was to keep that intact, because this represented her faithfulness to him. And all of a sudden, one day, she realized one of them was gone. And so she didn't want to say, well, she didn't want to appear just with the excuse, I've lost it. That wouldn't work. Amen. That would show a neglect. That would show she was not what was needed to have as a wife. And so she lit a candle, and she went to the expense of burning her candle. And that back then, that was a cost of money. And there wasn't a lot of money. And so she lit that candle, and she started sweeping. And she sweeped this part, and she moved that turn. She kept moving until finally she found it. And when she found it, she went out and she gathered all those married women in, and she said, look what I found. You remember how long I've been looking for this? Here it is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that whenever he said, she called her friends together and said, rejoice me, for I found the peace that I lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Some time ago, my wife said something about, what do you do in heaven? I know this wasn't a satisfactory answer for her, but I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about, did you know that when you go to heaven, every time a sinner is saved, you'll know about it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine having a receiver, some kind of scanner set up in your room, and they break in and say, we'd just like to let you know that in China right now, in that persecuted church, we had a soul saved. Amen. No more than hear that. They tell you, in El Salvador, we had a soul saved. In Mexico, we had some souls saved. And they name how many. Amen. And all. The Bible said it's in the presence of the holy angels. Now, that is angels in the presence of. Let me read it to you. Because he qualified there, he said, in the presence of the angels of God. Now, who understands the value of a lost soul more than those that have been lost and redeemed themselves? Amen. And so they rejoiced because of the fact, amen, somebody been saved. You say, well, Charles, I can't believe that. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I go to heaven, I'll be in revival as long as there's revivals down here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the Bible say, but you're come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn which are in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. And the Bible said in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. Do you know the reason why churches die? Amen. Whenever people aren't being saved, they may shout, they may have good music and everything, but it's the lifeblood of the church because it's of the interest of heaven that souls be saved. Glory be to God. Because heaven's rejoiced. And we're coming into the presence of those just men, the spiritual just men made perfect. We feel the presence of heaven when we see that person weeping their way through the salvation. Glory be to God. Woo! Don't worry about me in heaven, brother. Amen. I'll be a shouting every time a soul saved down here. Hallelujah. I don't know how God does that. But somehow he lets everybody know up there. The blood of Hail. The blood of Hail. The blood of Hail. The blood of Hail. You hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Amen. Now, this is what he was teaching them. And then he brought it down to the prodigal son. And he brought it down to the prodigal son. And he told the story of a poor boy that wasted all of his living in righteous living. Oh, God. What a sad hour it was. Now, listen. Everybody's ever had a lost child knows the feeling of what it is to have a lost child. Amen. They may be right in the next room to you, but they're in a far country. If you don't believe they're in a far country, try and talk to them. You don't get through. Amen. Try reason with them. Amen. They'll say to you like my dad, I think of everything I can say, I've tried to think of something else that I hadn't said to my son. And I think this is brand new. He's never heard it before. And he said, Dad, you told me that 100 times. He's in a far country.
Yeah. Yeah.
There ain't no way I can reach him. Amen. If he don't come to himself, he'll never come back. See what I'm saying? The importance of this man coming to himself. And he did come to himself. And so when he came to himself, he came back to his father. And we know that story. Amen. And we understand it. But here's the thing. Jesus spoke a parable because the Pharisees and the scribes said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth. And he told about lost sheep. And he told about a lost coin. And then he told about a lost son. And then he told about an elder brother. And what he was saying is, this prodigal son represents the publicans and the sinners. This elder brother represents you Pharisees. You're living so good, but over the years you've become bitter. You don't have anything, but you're happy that way because you can judge yourself with the other fella and feel good in what you're judging. Amen. Praise God. Am I just wearing you out? I don't mean to wear you. But I want to talk to you about this man. This man that had lived so good and been so faithful. And in all his years of service, here's my thought. In all of his life, this elder son, had never had a fatty calf. But if he'd only asked, he could have had one all of his life. Hallelujah. Praise God. He could have had one every week if he wanted one. The father was rich. The fatty calf. You know what the fatty calf was? Amen. The Bible talks in the Old Testament about going forth as stall-fed calves, calves fed the stall. When you feed a calf in a stall, he'll waste as much as he eats. He's got more than he needs. Amen. Huh?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And this poor, pitiful man, he said, number one, year after year I served. Number two, in all those years I've kept your word. He said, neither transgressed I thy commandment at any time. And thirdly, he didn't say, I've never received calf. He said, I've never received so much as a kid. That's a little goat. Huh?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He didn't have faith to believe he could have had a calf.
Come on.
He said, you've never even given me a kid. Even a little goat. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about old Frankie up there home. And Brother Bean Baldridge, Brother Bean, he come out of a little place called Worth, Arkansas. Amen. I remember years ago, Brother Pittman went down to Mexico and he took a bunch of pictures. And Brother Bean is a personal friend of Brother Pittman's, and Brother Pittman is his pastor at that time. And he took a bunch of pictures of Mexico and he come up there and he's showing them to the church and said, my, isn't it terrible? There are no screens on the doors and there's goats in the house and the pigs, you know, and everything. And Bean looked at me one day and he grinned and he said, you know, he showed me those. And I thought, you waste a lot of money. Amen. Go down there and get those pictures. I can take you 15 miles from here and show you that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, out of work, out on Martin's Creek. Amen. He knew where they lived like that. Anyway, old Bean, Frankie, come over there. Frankie, sat a little trouble speech. A lot of us do up there, like I do. But anyway, he told Brother Bean, he said, come on to the house. We're going to have a good fat joke. As a joke. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so they run them old goats in there, and said, Bean said he brought one out pretty soon. Little old goat, and there he was, and said, flanks is all sunk in, you know, and hair was standing wrong side out. You know what? You farmers know what I'm talking about when you get one like that. And said, Frankie grabbed and said, this is him. Said, well, Bean said, that's good jokes and feet. You know, well, you feel all that, you know, ribs and everything. So Frankie grabbed that little old kid, stuck it between his knees, amen. With that old pippin, bang, amen. Goat was ready to be served, amen. Praise the Lord. But it's kind of glue. Amen. And I can see to myself, this elder brother said, well, I couldn't even have a horse goat in the flock. Amen. If I'd have wanted it. But the father reminded him, he couldn't. Listen, I looked at this. Now listen. He didn't mean that he wasn't getting enough to get by. He was getting enough to get by. But he said, I couldn't make merry with my... Did you ever see anybody in church like that? Huh? It looked like all they could do was get out to church and get through church. And they didn't have no fellowship with nobody. They just come and left and went home, faithful over the years, but they never had anything to share with anybody. Now, isn't that pitiful to have that kind of existence, huh? Hallelujah. Isn't that pitiful whenever you could have had all the fellowship and the joy that you wanted. But you see, amen, he said, I'll never, never have enough. We never have enough to share. I just never have had it. Oh, yes, I've got enough. I've fed the family along. We've managed, and we're still going to church, and we've been coming to church here for years, but cricket service is over, out the door, amen, and, you know, just go home and come back, and you know, it isn't that they're not good people. You couldn't say this wasn't a good son, but it's just a sad existence to have. Amen. Praise God. I think about, and it reminded me, Brother Norman Smith, old Mike Robertson. I thought about it a lot of times. I was at a place one time, Mike got up and offered, and he said, Brother Charles, give $100, won't you, Brother Charles? I'll give what I can. Amen. He put me in his pot. Amen. I'm going to pay that off one of these days. I felt bad about it ever since. But anyway, I think about these two deacons in the church, and they understood they had such good fellowship. That one, it might have been down here. I don't remember where it was at. But one got up to take off, and he just called Adam and said, he'll give what I give. And if the other got up, he said, he'll give what I give. They didn't go home, man. They just laughed. They thought it was funny. You know why? They'd had enough to share. Hallelujah. They'd been where the Father was, and they found out they could have a fatting calf every time they wanted it to share with their friend. Amen. Praise God. You know, the Bible talks about how beautiful it is, amen, for brethren to dwell together in unity. How are you going to dwell together except you got food? Amen. You're the oldest folks. We can't have any kind of get-together if we don't eat. Amen. We don't even feel like we're being spiritual. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that this brother here, so pitiful. Oh, my heart goes out to people who live so good. And they live better than a lot of folks and become bitter over the years because they've never learned that the Father has enough and to spare for them and for their friends and for those they want to be blessed with. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach to you this morning. I'm trying to preach to you, amen, that we don't have to go around here without revival in our soul. We don't have to go around here without feeling the blessings of God. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And brother, I believe that, don't you? Hallelujah. I love this homeless way. I don't come down into my life and realize that I'm like the Jews, amen. All I got to do is sit around. Notice what he did. The Bible in its mercy, written by the Holy Ghost, said this man wasted his living on riotous living. But when that brother got to talking, he started enumerating it. He said, he wasted your living with, devoured your living with harlots. Hallelujah. You know, if you want to really get to the place where you can't pray with somebody, when they come to the altar, start talking to yourself, telling you what all they've done wrong. Huh? Hallelujah. They don't even deserve to be saved. Sorry outfit. I remember how they've done their mom, how they've done their wife. I remember how they talked to their poor old dad. They don't even deserve it. Who are you to say? If the good shepherd's looking for sheep, who are you to say? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, amen, that we can get so busy enumerating and remembering what all they've done until we fail to get the message, and that is, there's enough for them and us too if we'll get over what they've done and let God have His way. Amen. Praise God. I hate to get so lean in my soul that if God got to moving on somebody and I didn't think they was living like they ought to, and they go to shouting, and God had touched me, I ain't going to shout, I'll just shout. Amen. I hate to get that lean. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I ain't going to do your shouting for you. You ain't going to do my shout for me. Let's just shout. Amen. Hallelujah. If you ain't right, you and God work that out. I'm still going to shout out and feel you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I talked to you today about this fellow that said, amen, that I've never had anything. I've served for years and I've been faithful and never touched it. You can't stop my life. I just ain't got no joy. I just ain't got no happiness. I just don't get enjoyment out of seeing the other brothers and sisters in church. Oh, I tell you what. One of the things about my wife, now I'm kind of a fellow to draw back. You may not realize that, but my wife, she's always excited about getting to camp meeting if she gets acquainted with you because she wants to see her brothers and sisters. She says, that's my family, amen. I remember years ago, I always felt like I didn't really fit in with the rest of the preachers, And I just wasn't a part of them. And I've always felt that way. I was raised real poor and backward. And so I always feel like that I'm inferior to everybody else. I really do. And I remember we'd sometimes have a little trailer. We'd pull down to the campground. And I'd just feel the presence of people praying there. Get ready for church. And I'd be laying on my back in there staring at the ceiling just glad to be alone. And my wife said, get up, let's go to church. Oh, I'll just stay in here and say. I wasn't looking for pity. I just liked the feeling. But I thought if I get out there, then I'm going to have to worry about somebody feeling like they're so much better than I am. You know, and I'm just going to have to feel down. Amen. Amen. And the devil will use that. Did you know that? If you just get that in your mind, he'll use that. I remember years ago, I used to, amen, she'd finally get me out. And I'd think, well, I'd see somebody out there, Brother Collins, somebody I know. I know them. It seemed like I woke up going to say something. Yes, I did. Well, they decided to break up the conversation. Everybody leave. I'm standing right there all by myself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Huh? Amen. Be talking to somebody. Oh, there's somebody over there. See. You know, God. Huh? Hallelujah. I didn't know anything much about the Bible. Never forget, I had a fellow holding me revival. His guy wore one of his nice suits, always wore dressed real good. Amen. You know, you wonder sometimes why kids dress so silly. It's because they can't dress good. And they dress other ways just because they kind of resent the fact they can't. Amen. Well, I'm almost that way. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord, I'm bad. I really am. And anyway, I was talking to this fellow, you know, he's holding me about him. He's the kind of guy, you know, you can just call on him preaching moments notice. But man, if you give him time, he can work you up a message. I mean, and his hands, they do just right. His hair was always just in place. I mean, every movement was a movement of grace. And he's preaching revival. And so I was trying to discuss the Bible with him. And I want to talk to him about these idolaters. Amen. And he said, I read it to him right out of the Bible where it said idolaters. And he said, what? And he said, what are you reading? I told him. And he said, what was that, Brother Charles? And I said, you know, it says here, idolaters. And he fell over the floor. He got down the floor laughing. And when he could get his breath, he said, Brother Charles, that's idolaters. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. But my wife, she always was glad to get to go and see the brothers and sisters. Amen. And did you know that's part of the joy of camp meeting? The fellowship one with another. But say, that shouldn't stop at camp meeting. That should go on in church too. Did you know that? There ought to be a joy of getting to go to church and see a brother and sister so-and-so and shaking their hand and hugging their neck and telling them they're glad. You're glad to see them at church. They may have had a lot of things and you may know a lot about them, amen, but just forget about them and look at them and say they're in the fold. They're on the string. Hallelujah. They've come out of the hog trough. They're my brother, my sister, the Lord, and I love them. Hallelujah. And I preach this like I meant to. I preach on the fact, amen, if we want it, we can have it if we'll ask for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. You see, there's something about this business. You know, we're living in a time when we have this modern philosophy, ask once, and in faith, that's all you ask. You don't ask no more, or you're messing up God's plan for man. Amen. We have that philosophy. But you remember what the Bible tells us? I went in Luke 18 when he spoke a parable about a man that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He gave the story of the unjust judge and that poor little old woman that went and widow and said, avenge me and my adversary. And she went day after day and day after day and day after day until he got sick of seeing her. Amen. He said, tell him I'm out of town. Amen. Tell her, I'll tell his secretary, I'm out of town. I won't be there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he'd take everything, tell her she'd step out the door. Amen. And he'd think, well, I've got that over about that. I'll hear something knock on the window pane. She looked around. She'd be standing on the box and judge. I thought you was out of town. But since you're here, I want to tell you something. Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, he got tired of seeing her at the back door and at the window pane. Amen. Praise God. She was there when he got out of the car and in the car. I know he didn't have cars then, but this is my message. You leave me alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. And finally got so tired of it, he said, I will avenge you. I don't fear God or man, but I'll do something because he just continues calling on me to do it. Amen. And he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night with them unto him, though he bear long or he's long suffered with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Then he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I'm saying to you, church, this morning, have we lost faith in God to the place that after we pray a little while for something, we just forget it? We just put it down. We think that's all of it. I'll pass it up. Or do we say,
say, yes, I'm like the little woman. I'll keep on praying and crying and calling on God until something moves in this. Amen. God either moves the obstacle or he moves me in the best position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I remember years ago, and I'm the champion of dry praying. I'm the champion. Nobody. I ain't nobody. I ain't the champion of praying. Not in the least. But I guarantee you I've prayed more dry prayers, hallelujah, than Missouri had units in the Battle of Gettysburg, at Vicksburg. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Besides, by the way, they had more units in there than any other state. The only problem in Missouri, half of them was on the north and half of them was on the south. Amen. Or maybe two-thirds of them south, I guess it was. Amen. We didn't get all together, but we was almost all together. But I'll tell you, I prayed some dry prayers. One night at the church, the power of God fell. And I was dancing and feeling his presence. And I said, God, this feels so good. I said, God, I'm enjoying this. I said, God, I don't deserve this. What on earth am I getting blessed like this for? And I felt the presence of the Lord speak to me. And he said, do you remember that back over in the field and you was praying and telling me how dry those prayers were? And you was talking to me about those dry prayers and you was complaining about you couldn't get in the Spirit and you was upset because you couldn't feel my presence. Amen. This is because you kept praying. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the system pays off, my friend. Amen. Why are you where there's a blessing and there's plenty whenever we don't ever take any part of it? Why are you in a place where we talked about the old time power they had and the old presence of God, the way the power of God fell on the old saints? Amen. Whenever we don't ever get in under the spout and enjoy what they enjoy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, in our country and across the country, people are aware of their heritage. Love talking about having end in ancestors, and most all of us do. Amen. In our ancestry. Amen. But I'll tell you what, you can be just as Indian looking as you can be, but you don't get no benefit unless you got that little green card. Hallelujah. If you can whip it out, you can be as fair as a Britisher. Blonde and blue eyed. But you got every benefit in the world because of the green card. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, you can go in there and tell them all about your ancestry. Say, look at me, don't I look Indian? Yeah, you sure do. Amen. Boy, I am. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Why? I don't have a green card. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you can come in the house of God. Amen. And you can talk about grandfather and grandmother and great-grandfather and grandmother. And I'll say, have you got the green card? If you've got the green card, I'll expect you to get what grandpa and grandma got. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you got the green card? Hallelujah. If you've got it, you can get it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yes, you see, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not saying you got to shout all the time, but sometimes you're going to cry. Sometimes you're going to get your hands up in the air. There's going to be an emotional moving on you. Amen. You're going to feel God in your heart. Amen. And sometimes the reason why we don't is because we've got the green card, but we don't present it. We don't keep presenting it. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm trying to speak to you this morning. I hope you don't mind this, but I'm trying to talk about a people that over the years has done everything right, but got bitter in their soul over various things. Oh, God. Oh, God. Man, his wife used to hold revivals for me, or has held a revival. Used to come to our church when I was first saved, started preaching, started pastoring. And I their son got saved not too long ago, then backslid. But anyway, that's another story. But I called over there and talked to her, and she told me, Sister Opal was a good woman. She had more determination, and she had more stick with it than her husband in some ways. Amen. You know, she just stayed with it. She'd stay in there. Amen. And she was just the kind that would. Amen. She just had it. Amen. She told me, Brother Charles, amen, they don't go to church anymore. And she said, Brother Charles, I'm a sick woman. Said, I'm a sick woman. Said, and I know I can't live alone. But she said, I'm not right with God. I'm so bitter. I'm so bitter. I've talked to her for a number of years now. Once in a while, see her to church and maybe be standing outside. And I'd walk up to Sister Oakland to say something. She'd, Brother Charles, I'm just bitter. I'm just bitter. I'm just bitter. I'm just bitter. Oh, I know this isn't very good preaching, but listen, Oh, why trade the blessing for bitterness? Oh, to the preachers, I feel like I said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Amen. It'll not just stay with you. Bitterness won't just stay there. Amen. You try it sometime. Drop a drop of quinine in a glass of water or a jug of water. Try to get a drink before the bitterness spreads. You can't do it. It'll get through that whole thing before you can get a drink out of it. Amen. It just goes through it like that. Amen. And I remember one paraphrase that said, looking diligently after each member of the flock without becoming bitter over over the actions of one of the members. Amen. I like that, don't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Brother, if we can do that, that'll keep us sweet in our soul. I've met some saints over the years. Amen. Do you know why they were saints? They were saints because they kept going back after the fatty calf. Amen. They didn't worry themselves. They didn't spend a lot of time worried about the prodigal son any more than glad to see him come home. Amen. And whenever that prodigal son came home, they wasn't back there enumerating their sins. They sat down beside him and said, eat with me. Amen. I killed a fatty calf before you got here. And if you'll get in, we'll both eat of Dad's bounty. Brother, I believe that's what it takes, amen. Just to keep on asking and seeking God until we get what we need from God. Hallelujah. I'm about to. But you remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman? Jesus went near the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and the Bible said the woman was at that coast. She was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. Did you ever think, stop and think about her? The Bible said that woman of Canaan said, cried unto the Lord, said, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Next verse said, he answered another word. Oh, the disappointment. You already feel inferior anyway. Those Jews are trying to keep from touching you if they possibly can. Amen. Every time you move, you automatically got plenty of room. Amen. Because they scatter, you know. Amen. And you're crying, Jesus. You're trying to give him every title you know to make it right. I heard he was the son of David. I know they said that's the greatest king that ever lived. And he's the son of David. And they say he's a great healer. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he doesn't even answer. And she keeps up the clamor. And finally she says, maybe I'm not going through the right channel. Yeah. And so she latches on to Peter. And she says, Peter, amen, this man Jesus out there, he can heal my daughter if he will. Amen. Talk to him, Jesus. Talk to him, Peter, and let him know that I really need to see my daughter healed. Amen. And so the disciples came to him, but saw him saying, send her away, for she cries after us. How? What another setback. Amen. You ever hear people say lady when you know they don't mean lady at all? Huh? I forget that's what Peter said. Lady? Now let me ask you a few questions. Number one, do you have a temple like we have in Jerusalem that God told us to build? No. No. Did God give any of your men the commandments on the mount like he gave our Moses? No. No. Are you people keeping those commandments? No. But my daughter's sick. Lady, let me tell you something. If God wanted to heal you, your daughter, he'd have put you in us. And then you got healed. Your daughter got healed. Now, the Bible don't say that, but I'm just telling you because they said she cried after us. And she used every argument she could on them. Amen. And so, you know, what a mess. She's crying for mercy, and his disciples are crying for relief from her crying. What a mess. Amen. Do you ever wonder sometimes Jesus kind of wonders really what to do? Amen. Somebody's crying for mercy and we're crying for relief because we fool with them as long as we want to fool with them. Huh? You ever get tired of praying somebody at the altar? Amen. Oh, God, there that person comes again. They pray every revival. Oh, Lord. Have mercy on me, oh, God. Can't you do something to keep them coming every revival? They tear up the service. Besides, I miss no telling how many tempers have a prayer around the altar with them. Amen. I'm trying to preach to you today on that elder son that has never had a fatty calf in all of his life, and he could have had one all the time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I always wondered, I couldn't figure that out. Why did she get what she wanted? Persistence, yes. But I noticed first he never answered her word. Then his disciples called and cried and carried on. Don't seem like he answered them either. He just ignored them. And the Bible said, and I want to read it to you. I hope I'm not taking too much time. But the Bible said that send her away, she called Caiaphas. And answered and said, he told his disciples, he did answer them something. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I justified everything. But he didn't answer anything to help her problem. He just said, well, according to the law, all I'm sent to is to those who know the law. But then she came to him and worshiped him. Hallelujah. Now, in my mind, I don't believe she just approached like I am at the pulpit here and said, now, Lord, you're the Son of David, and I'm just serving. No, I don't believe she done that. I believe she come and fell down at his feet. I believe she prostrated herself. I believe she put herself up there in her prostration. She said, Lord, I need help. Amen. Have mercy. Amen. She said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And I found something this morning I never noticed before. Amen. And he said to her, he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And I got to looking at that word meet, and it means constitutionally good. In other words, he said, according to our constitution, I can't take children's bread and give it to the dogs. Ah. She said, I found out where we're working at now. Amen. That means not, you know, it can be constitutionally good, but not necessarily benevolent. Let me explain that. I believe it's constitutionally right to bear arms. Hallelujah. And I'd rather take a chance with the loonies with their arms and me have some, or forgive me, as I'm with them and me not having. And besides of all that, you used to have the Badlands in Mexico, New Mexico, and Texas, and Oklahoma. That's where nobody went. It's too bad. Even a sheriff wouldn't go without a big posse. Marshals didn't go in there. Just like we got places in cities now where police don't go. The gangs have it controlled. You ever stop and think what happened? If all the guns are taken away and those gangs could just roam at will with their knives, they wouldn't need guns. There'd be so many of them. You'd be at their mercy. So I believe it's constitutionally right. It may not be benevolent, but it's constitutionally right. Now, I don't cross you. I'm not here for politics, but I'm just telling you how I feel about that. Amen. It's constitutionally my right to bear arms if I want to. And if they don't know I ain't got it, that's my business. Huh? Amen. So she said, wait a minute. She said, wait a minute. If it's constitutionally right, he said it's not constitutionally good. It's not according to law. But maybe there's something there that will appeal to him. And so she just stayed at his feet. Amen. And he said, it's not meat to take children's bread and cast off. And she said, truth, Lord, I'll accept that. But she said, remember this. Every time a wealthy man eats food, he gets that grease all over his hand. They got them little wafers. And you remember, takes the wafers and they take that and throw it to the dogs. Now, you talk about racism. You talk about ethnic. A speech, amen. He called her a dog. That's like, I saw somebody driving in the sheriff's car this morning. How do you like to go somewhere and want help, need help, and say, I really got help? He said, get away from me, pig. Would you stay there? That's what he's saying to her. You know, you're considered dogs. According to us, you're considered, but wait a minute. She said, wait a minute. Maybe if somehow you could just remember that there's some stuff thrown away that'd be enough to take care of everything I need. Hallelujah. When they wipe their hands, they throw those used napkins. That's what they used the napkins in. That bread. They throw it under the table. And the dogs cleaned it up. She said, now look. Hallelujah. I'm not asking to sit at the table, but I'm under here. Hallelujah. Woo! Woman, great is thy faith. Mark said, from this saying go thy way.
My daughter is made whole.
I'm preaching to you, amen, that somehow she made her way in to where the fatty calf was. Yeah. to her. He is wanting to show his disciples something, that just because they had the law, they may not have the persistency. Amen. And just because they had the law, they might look at it so straight that they forget there might be a way around that and under it. Amen. Where there might be little tidbits to take care of them. Amen. Those that needed help. Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, sometimes you have to keep crying out to God. But it's worth crying out to God for. Amen. I want to use this. Mike Roberts preached up there. Brother Mike, I should say. Great preacher. I loved him preach. And he preached on the fact that Zelophehad had $5. And $5, he said, was that's the number of grace. Five is the number of grace. But it's not only the number of unmerited favor. It means grace with ability. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's this unmerited favor that saves us. But it's our ability to say, God, we need help. Amen. Whether we can talk or not, that makes us be able, amen, to see the Lord move. And it doesn't matter if you're able to talk or not. If your heart cries out, God can hear it. Amen. Brother Mike Hankins was telling about down there in Mississippi. Amen. He went to a service the other night. And there was a deaf and dumb girl there seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And pretty soon the Holy Ghost fell down. And she started speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Amen. After they got through, amen, she got through shouting and talking in tongues. They asked her if she wanted to testify. And she nodded to her little brother. He stood up, amen, as she started talking to her hands. And he started telling them how glad she was that she'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. If God can do that for deaf and dumb people and cause them to speak with tongues and then have to take their hands and tell you how good it is, how come that He isn't the God that takes a lock off of our jaws and allows us to shout and praise Him and enjoy the presence of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Zelophehad, he died in the wilderness. And the daughters come to Moses and they said, look, we know there's going to be some divvying up of the land. And our father ain't going to get nothing because we got no brothers. And there's nothing in the law that says anything that we have anything. But we want something. Because our father wasn't a rebel. He died in the wilderness. Died in the we want something. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Moses looked them to the, you remember women's lib? No. Moses said, I'll take that for the Lord. See what the Lord says. You know what God said? He said, they're speaking right. You give it to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A year later, they're crossing over into Canaan's land. Hallelujah. Years go by and still nothing. 8 years from the time God said it. Amen. Joshua's still trying to divide the land. And one day, here comes those five girls. And they say, you know, Moses, the man of God, by the command of the Lord, gave us some land. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they got it. Hallelujah. There's 8 years. But once they set their sight on it, they never gave up on it. And I love what Mike Roberts said. He said, look here, if those daughters would never said anything, God would never say anything. You hear what I'm telling you this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Listen, the Bible said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. I wrote this down. Violence. That word, first, violence means to crowd oneself into something. Amen. You crowd yourself in. It suffers somebody to crowd in. In the passive meaning, it means for something to seize you. Amen. Praise God. And I thought about a scripture in Philippians where Paul said in Philippians 3 and 12, but I follow after. I like that word because it's translated 4:29 in Galatians, persecute. Amen. And in the 19th verse of that same chapter, the 14th verse, it says, press toward. In other words, he said, I press toward, amen, if that I may apprehend, that I may grab a hold of, for that which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. He said, God has already done his past, it's what he done. Now what I got to do is reach out and get what God has got for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The kingdom of heaven suffers us to force our way in because God grabbed us out of this old world that we might be that kind of a people. Hallelujah. Cry day and night and seek His face. He don't get tired of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the violence,
That word means energetic. The energetic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My uncle one time raised his wife's grandson. And I said, how's Walden doing, Uncle Charlie? He said, that boy's so lazy, it's just come breath or go breath. I ain't going to breathe you. Hallelujah. I met a few like that, haven't you? If God wants me to have it, I'm living good. He'll give it to me. One fella told me if God's going to give anything, he'll give it to us good sanctified folks. Well, if you'll force in there, he saved you so he can do it. Hallelujah. If you'll show a little energy, hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said they take it. They seize it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That pretty well finishes me out this morning. I want you to know that God is interested in giving you gifts and blessing you. Hallelujah. But he's also interested in the fact that since he saved you, amen, the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth his way into it. Hallelujah. He's interested in you getting around these altars. He's interested in you say, Lord, I want something for you. He's interested in yielding yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have I used my tape all up? Amen. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm through, but I'll tell you one more thing. My mother, amen, I had five children, her first husband died. And she married my daddy, was a ne'er-do-well man. He was very poor. And consequently, we were all poor, amen. Praise God. And mama and daddy, they went to the good old Baptist church, amen. And mama's daddy was a Baptist preacher, amen. And his grandpa was a Baptist preacher, amen. I told Brother Smith, he said, everybody's Smith at one time. I said, yeah. My mama's grandpa was Charles Wesley Smith out of Kentucky. Amen. So anyway, amen. But mama heard from people that there was a Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you spoke with tongues just like you did in the book of Acts. And so my dad, he was being a good Baptist man. He said, if you ever do it, I'll kill myself. Hallelujah. And mama said, well. And so she was nursing a child at the time, and she wanted to fast, and Dad wouldn't let her fast. He said, the baby will starve to death. Well, amen, with us, amen, with 10 children, 13 actually born, there wasn't any other time, hardly, you know, to fast. And so, anyway, so Daddy had to go. His sister got sick, and he had to go visit her. And it was a journey of Manistrand. We didn't know where but walk. And so it would take you, walk over there, you get up and leave out early in the morning, about 20 miles, you walk over there. Well, no, where we lived then, it was farther than that. Amen. Probably 30 or 40 miles. And so Daddy's going to be gone for 3 days. And Mama went to fasting. And the baby didn't starve. And Mama kept fasting. Amen. And so that afternoon, Dad had to be back that night because we were having cottage prayer meeting at the Barnett home. Amen. Now, if you're from the south, we're Barnett. If you're up from the north, it's Barnett. Amen. So anyway, they were having prayer at the Barnett home. Amen. And so Grandma Barnett, we called her. Amen. She's just a young woman then. She went off up in the orchard to pray that evening before Walter got home. And she got up there and got to pray it. And something spoke to her and said, you'll get the blessing tonight. Hallelujah. She come back home and fixed supper. Walter come walking in. And they all sat down and ate their meager food. Amen. Come time for the service time. And I can't tell you maybe just exactly the way it was. But my mom had been fasting and praying. She didn't know if it's right or wrong. Her daddy told her it was wrong. Amen. Her husband told her wrong. But something in her said, seek it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so she started singing that night. And they were all, you know, do y'all ever remember having those houses where your couch was the bed, you know? You just had one room there, and the couch was the bed, and you brought the kitchen table chairs in and sat in them. That's kind of home we was. And so they were all sitting there, you know, and they got to singing. Amen. And so Mama got her hand up. And her hands got to shaking. So she put that down. And, amen, put her up. And it got shaking, amen. So she put that one down, amen. And so then she thought, well, amen, then her feet got to do some funny things. Hallelujah. And she didn't know what was going on about that time. She said she saw someone on the cross. And she said it didn't actually seem safe. But he was saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Said it sounded so pretty that she thought I just say it for the people. Let them know what he said. But when she opened her mouth, yes, she started speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave her. And she fell back in the lap of the only one that had that Pentecostal experience in the whole room. One other old lady had one there. I had it, and she's one been telling Mom again. Amen. She fell right back in her lap. And the power of God picked my mom up. They saw her and carried her around with her legs stretched straight out. Carried her around and in front of the startled gaze of those Baptist people. Just carried her around. Her with her hands up, talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. My mama died when she's 95. Amen. When she's 95, just a few months before she died. She came to church. She come to church regularly. Amen. Where I pastored, I never looked at she gets her hands up. And she said, folks, I want to thank God for the Holy Ghost. That He's not just the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And her feet were to shuffling. And her hands were to trembling. And that was my mama. Amen. But she persevered. Daddy said he's going to kill himself. Mom said, he said to mama, oh, George, I'll either have to do it or tell a lie. And she said, no, you won't. Said the Holy Ghost, come on. And he said, what I'll do? Said, you change your mind. Hallelujah. And her daddy, her old Baptist daddy, said, daughter, I'd rather see you in your grave. And her sister said, why, Georgie, only people on the wrong side of the tracks have that. They were from, lived up in the city. But Mama kept it. She's still like the Holy Ghost. She's still like the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And her only two sons by that Baptist deacon have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And all preachers, glory be to God. I believe I'll seek the Father. I believe I'll seek Him. And I'll get that fatty calf. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. When that prodigal son comes out, I'm going to look up my grease off the mountain. Room for you right there. Just right there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll pray with you needs at the same time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one time praying, just a young pastor, and I said, oh, God, give me this mountain wicked woman in that town. Amen. One night she come to church, and she come to the altar and got saved. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. The young boys in that town were safer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what to do, brother. I don't even know what time. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Daniel. And you give us all. I don't know what to do. Huh? You do it.
How many is hungry for a fatted calf? How many like this has come up to the master's table real quick and get a hold of God and say, Lord, I've been in the church, but I just want something that you've already had prepared for me. God, I want to get a hold of something that's already been fixed for the church, ready for the church to enjoy. Praise God. Let's get a hold of the fatted calf that's already fixed for the children. You could have had it all along if you'd wanted it. Praise God. You could have had it all the time. God, fix the fatted calf for me. God, fix the fatted calf for me. God, I want the fatted calf. I want to give my brother some. I want to give my lost children some. God, I want to fix some of those that are wayward and out of the ark, God. Bring us to the fatted calf, Lord.